Good morning. Well, here we are in I'm on the sunny Isle of Wight, and I'm here with my colleague Izaz Ali, the great Izaz, and we thought we'd have a quick podcast. Not going to be anything too strenuous for the brain, but we wanted to discuss settlement agreements because we're having an awful lot more of them. That we're getting inquiries that come through from either an employer that wishes to have a settlement agreement drafted, or indeed the employee themselves who wishes to have a settlement agreement looked at. So I called in Izaz, because Izaz drafts these all the time, and thought I could just sort of pick his brains on a few things. So Izaz, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Very well, sir, very well. Thanks for having me on board on this podcast.
Oh, wow, are you enjoying the heat? I think we've got 2 days. I mean, what's the date today? The 7th of September 2021, and who'd have thought that we'd be having 25, 26 degrees?
It's been absolutely fabulous weather, and all the more enjoyable because the kids have gone back to school again. So it's you get to enjoy the sunshine and a bit of peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet without running around after the
during the day, anyway.
Exactly. There we go. Right. So Izaz, what is a settlement agreement?
Okay, so a settlement agreement. So we're looking at it in the employment context.
Yeah.
It's an agreement between an employer and an employee. Designed to compromise an employee's claims, contractual statutory claims on a departure, on termination of employment, etc. So that in a nutshell is what it is.
Okay.
And for the older generation out there, they would have settlement agreements were previously known as compromise agreements.
Mm-hmm.
So part of our training and earlier years of law would always refer to them as compromise agreements.
Okay. So, quick question.
They are one in the sense of the same thing. Though.
Yeah, I noticed that you just said they were talking about it in the context of employment. So, what other context would you refer to or have the need for a settlement agreement?
So, effectively, any sort of divorce or departure between a business relationship or individuals. So, for example, if it was a partnership and they came to a point where one partner wants to buy another one out, or he literally wants to walk away from it, he wants to do something completely different, and whatever the original terms of their agreement, whether it was oral or whether it was written,
mm-hmm.
They need to make a shopping list of saying, well, okay, we've agreed to part company, these are loosely the terms that we've agreed. So, for example, if there's some payment to be made on exit, there's £50,000 to be paid, but the partner continuing with the business says, well, look, you know the cash flow of the business. It's probably going to take us 2 years to roll that out. We can get, $10,000 to you, and then the rest of it split over, effectively 2 years. So that's one example of that.
Okay.
So the settlement agreement is a loose term that can be used in pretty much any context to deal with one partner buying another one out, or one person walking away from a relationship, or just to even compromise something. So, for example, if you bought something or you had a garage carry out some service, some bodywork to your car, and they quoted you £1,000, and when you got your car, you said, well, look, you've not done a great paint match here, or I'm not entirely happy with the finish that you've done on the vehicle. We'd agreed to pay you £1,000. We're now going to, we've agreed to settle at £750.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a settlement agreement, but it's not going to be the full-blown context of an employment settlement.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot shorter. So there's various ways that agreement can come into play, but the flavours or variations of it will obviously differ in relation to which context it's
okay.
used.
So hence why the purpose of this podcast was trying to sort of hone that in on something that could be a little more relative to individuals and employees, because it is going to be a very detailed document that will have to be looked over before that employee would sign it away. Can you give us any more context as to what these agreements look like when it just, homing in on the employment aspect of things?
Okay, so typically they will, so first and foremost, they're always on a without prejudice basis.
Okay.
And what we mean by that is that it's an offer from the employer to the employee to say, we're offering you this to effectively deal with any of your rights, alleged claims that you may have. And as the name suggests, it's to settle those claims.
Mm-hmm.
And the agreement would spell out the details of the party, set out what dates that the parties worked, what the role was,
okay.
And then they'd go into some context, some detail as to what payments, if any, are accrued and owing up until the point of what we would define as a termination date.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include outstanding holiday pay, payment in lieu of notice, and the likes. And again, because there's such a wide ambit to the settlement agreement, if there was some wrong committed by the employee and the employer was due to be compensated for that, you could incorporate in the agreement some form of offset.
Okay.
What we mean by offset is if the employee committed a wrong and he needed to pay the employer £5,000 back and the employer owed the employee £12,000, then the £5,000 will be offset from the £12,000 and effectively there'll be a £7,000 payment from the employer to the employee, but in the context of the settlement agreement.
Okay. So, I mean, one of the biggest questions I think certainly our listeners will have is how concrete is a settlement agreement? Because we know that it's a very important document. And of course, you know, you're settling whatever dispute. It might not even be a dispute. It's just an agreement, a compromise to be able to part company, part ways. But how concrete is it?
Okay, so that's a very, very important question. In legal terms, each agreement has to be written bespokely for the situation at hand, and that's what would be scrutinized if it ever went to court. So the headlines are the agreement is always a full and final settlement agreement, and it's always an agreement whereby it contains waivers, so the employee is actually legally obliged to go away and take independent legal advice. And by that we mean when the employer presents the agreement to the employee, he takes that agreement, he goes to another lawyer who has not drafted the agreement, so he's not with the same firm as the employer's solicitors, and he would be, there's a contribution towards the cost of that. So typically, outside of London, that would be around about £300 plus VAT.
Right.
That the employer would pay to that lawyer to say whether or not, so that's, it's not conditional on the employee signing the agreement.
It's just
a
to
payment,
look over it. Mm.
Just to look over the agreement and advise the client. And then it's down to the client, i.e. the employee, to effectively sign that agreement.
Mm.
And there's usually a certificate attached to it.
Yeah.
And the certificate is just a confirmation, written confirmation from the lawyer to say that I've met this person, you know, verify their ID, I have insurance in place, I've advised this person of his rights and obligations ongoing under the terms of this agreement.
Okay, that's interesting, because then everything within the agreement will be not necessarily read out in full, but the terms of it will be explained to said employee from their lawyer that's been appointed so that they can understand what it is they're signing. Are there ever any situations where a settlement agreement can be void, or certainly in time, I don't know, something's come to light that may allow a court to consider, you know, going back to the position they were in before the settlement agreement was signed?
I would say, I personally have no experience of that, but I would certainly say that there will be, because any agreement that's signed, if there's a breach of that agreement in some way, shape or form, then there's an opportunity to litigate. What usually happens in relation to this is that the employer would do one of two things, at the very least here. Firstly, they would raise the point that the agreement was signed before a lawyer and that the employee had independent legal advice, which was paid for, and they signed that agreement, so they knew what they were getting into. Number two, any payments that are made by the employer to the employee under the terms of the settlement agreement, there's an immediate clawback. So, and if you could just look at the position of the parties, usually the employee is not in a position of wealth, so he'd find it somewhat difficult to conjure up the money that he's received under the agreement, and this may be months later, for then for him to have to repay that back as a prerequisite for him to have to undo the terms of the agreement. And certainly at the point of going to court or raising this issue, we would have to specifically spell out what was it about the settlement agreement that we are now effectively challenging. Because at the point of signing, there's a lot of opportunity to negotiate, discuss, and reach terms that are mutually agreeable to both employer and employee.
Okay. And then I guess the next really big question is, for me to you, what is it that our listeners will have to consider, or what is it there to look out for within a settlement agreement? Is there anything that's obvious, or is it a case of there's a lot of fine print there that needs to be reviewed?
I think it really depends on the circumstances, but just to give you an overview, as a lawyer, when we look at a settlement agreement, we interview the employee, because we don't know about their workplace, we don't know about how many people work with them, what their opportunities were, how long they've been working there, what the policies in place, what the atmosphere was like in their workplace. So effectively, the agreement would have a catch-all clause or a schedule usually, and it would list everything under the entire sun in relation to anything that could happen in a workplace. So it covers stuff like breaches of contract, wrongful dismissal, unfair dismissal, unlawful deduction of wages, pensions, parental leave, flexibility, God, I'm running out of ideas, victimization, bullying, harassment, you know, all of those sort of claims. And it's like a fishing net, a trawling net. So that would all be in there. And then out the skill set in the lawyer would be to interview the client, to just get a feel of what his life was like at the workplace, what policies were in place, you know, whether, you know, he was sidestepped for promotion, or was he happy at work, or, you know, was the employer or fellow employees particularly bad to him? Did he ever raise any grievances? How were they dealt with? So it's really a case of someone getting to know someone, and particularly his role in that, in the company or with that employer, and then to try to assess from there whether or not there is a potential claim in any of the headers. And if there is, then you could still sign a settlement agreement, but you could carve out, or you remove that provision, or raise the complaints in relation to those provisions, try to iron them out with the employer,
so that,
and then obviously that's interesting. At the same time, gain some compensation for it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I sort of got the understanding that the settlement agreement gets drafted by the employer's solicitors or in-house. They then pass that over to the employee to then consider. So there is room for you to be able to negotiate the terms of the settlement agreement, then so the employee can go back and say, I'm not happy with this, I'm not happy with that, I'd like this removed, I'd like that removed, etc., etc.
Yes, but what you've got to be mindful of is that once you start removing provisions, so for example, if you were to look at the agreement and say to the lawyer, can you remove, once you've taken advice from the lawyer, of course, you say, can you remove the provision in relation to breach of contract?
Understood.
So it immediately that goes back as a red line version. That's the first thing on their mind. What point, what's your issue in relation to breach of contract? So it does bring about a healthy discussion. Whether or not you could reach settlement after that is an entirely separate matter.
Of course, it could completely break down.
Yeah. But it's very, very, very important, and that's something that I can't stress enough, to actually always declare, always come clean to your own lawyer and explain to him, these are the problems I've had at work, and then leave it to the skill set of the lawyer to then determine whether or not there is a claim, and in some way, shape or form to help you quantify that claim, and then to be able to negotiate on your behalf with the employer to get you some form of compensation.
Okay. Oh, this has been really useful, Izaz. Okay. I think what we're going to probably best to do now is just to say to our listeners that it can be quite complex, and it's certainly not something that you can sign lightly. So please do make sure that you go and seek independent legal advice. As Izaz has said, you know, you tend to find within the terms of a settlement agreement, there'll be a certificate that'll have to be also drafted and signed by that solicitor, and an amount of money should be allocated to allow that to happen. If you're an employer and you'd like to have a settlement agreement or compromise agreement drafted, do get in touch with us. info@lawdit.co.uk or call us on 02380 235 979. Izaz, one final word.
Yep.
What are your plans for the weekend?
It is Tuesday today, so I have absolutely no idea at the moment. I mean, if the weather holds, I'd like to enjoy some time in the garden.
Lovely stuff. Excellent. Well, I hope you enjoy that. Izaz, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for listening, everyone, and take care. Speak soon.
Thank you.